I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, we'll talk about how to reinvent the holiday meal without alienating your entire family and friends. Plus, we'll have a Wisdom Watch conversation with another of our MacArthur Fellows, the winners of that prestigious fellowship that allows creative people to have $500,000 over the course of 5 years to do whatever they want. We'll meet Carlos Bustamante. That's coming up. But first, it's time to make our way to the beauty shop where we talk about issues in the news that could use a woman's touch. Joining us today in our Washington, D.C. studio are Anna Marie Cox, Washington correspondent for GQ magazine, Danielle Belton, author of the blog BlackSnob.com, and from our bureau in New York, author and blogger J.C. Davies. She's a former Wall Street money manager who considers herself an expert on interracial dating. She's the author of a new book on that topic called I Got the Fever. That's relevant because we're going to be talking about some intriguing issues around dating in these difficult economic times. So welcome to everybody. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we'll start with the dating story because a recent survey says that women are changing their perspective on dating men who are unemployed. Now, it's not exactly an ancient proverb, you know, no romance without finance, but it's close enough. But I think it's just commonly understood that women will not find a man attractive if he is sans employment. But the online dating site Zoosk.com recently surveyed its members, and it found that 60% of the women they surveyed said that they would be open to dating an unemployed man. That's a substantial increase from when they did the survey just a year ago, when only 52% of women said that. So we were wondering whether this is some sort of a kind of a change in the culture that's changing our kind of sense of these things. So, Danielle, I'd like to ask you, you're a single gal.
I don't know if it's so much a change in the culture. I think it's just more adapting to the current new reality. It's the current environment. I mean, we have a recession going on. You know, I think unemployment with men is in fluctuates between 9% and 10% range nationally. So the chances of you meeting a man who might fit your needs in a lot of ways, might be the right kind of education background you want, might come from the same family background similar to your own, someone who you might be attracted to, you know, just might not happen to have a job, because a lot of people just don't happen to have a job. So what you're basing it on, I think, now is more so on a potential. You know, do you have an idea of career? Do you have a plan? Do you have a future? It's like women are like, okay, I can work with that.
Because you take him home for Christmas,
yeah,
is the question. You could, without your daddy saying, I raise you to have some man sitting on your couch. What you do that?
I think there's different kinds of unemployed. You know, like, yes. I feel like if I brought home an unemployed doctor or an unemployed, you know, writer who had a career going towards an unemployed graduate of an Ivy, I think my father would be like, well, okay, like maybe something will happen here. I'm gonna
if
be
you brought
nice
him someone who wasn't supposed to be unemployed.
Yeah, yeah. Like someone who, if it wasn't a recession going on and things weren't so brutal, you know, they'd normally have a job. I think my dad would cut him some slack.
Yeah. Now, J.C., let me ask you this, because as we said, you've written a book about dating men of different cultures and ethnic backgrounds. And I have to say, the book is very provocative. I mean, it's the kind of thing that most of us wouldn't discuss without a couple of drinks, and perhaps not even then. And so I wanted to ask, but you do go right there. You do actually take on the question of whether men of different backgrounds in your experience feel differently about their even willingness to be in the dating pool if they aren't employed. What did you find out? And please try to not lose me my license.
Okay, I'll be on my best behavior.
Thank you.
I think of all the different cultures I discuss in the book, Latinos, Indian, Asians, Blacks, and Jewish, there's a definitely difference as to whether or not they would even consider pursuing women if they're unemployed. Particular Asians and Indians, it's just not something they would do. There's actually a section in my book that's called, in the Asian section, that's called You Are What You Do. So therefore, if you don't have a job, there's really no way to approach people. And I remember having this conversation with a good friend of mine that's really intelligent. And he said, and I said, you know, you should be an entrepreneur. And he says, oh, yeah, like anyone's going to date an unemployed bald Indian guy. So, I mean, that's sort of the mentality that they have. They just really wouldn't even approach a woman if they didn't have a job.
Okay. I'm scared, but we're kind of skating to the line of stereotype. We're skating to the line of stereotype, but we're going to sort of push through it. And, okay, I feel Danielle is African-American. We're a diverse group here. Danielle is African-American. Anna Marie's, she's married, so
I'm missing out of this discussion.
We're out of the dating pool and happy to be out. But
you lucky too.
So
I know.
So what did you find with Latino men and Asian and African-American men?
Well, I mean, with, you know, with the sisters, I mean, they're really not going to put up with the brother that's unemployed. So, I mean, maybe they need to start considering dating white women or something, because I think that's going to be a really tough sell. So, that, you know, the true for Asian women, too. I mean, there's just certain cultures where the women are not going to sort of put up with joblessness, where I think, you know, people that are part of the general American culture, white
people.
You
mean people, white. You mean white.
Yeah, white people. Okay. Yeah, white people are more. I think a little bit more forgiving because of exactly what Danielle said about how everybody's unemployed. You know,
well, you know, but I have to tell you, the unemployment, we've discussed this so many times, unemployment among African American men, African Americans in general,
it's
much more severe than among the general population.
Been, yeah, and high even, for years now.
And the unemployment rate among black men with college degrees is twice that of white men with college degrees, even though it's far less than the general population. It's, you know, something like 8% as opposed to 4% of white men with college degrees. So it would seem to me the opposite, that there would be much more tolerance and understanding among African Americans about
I just think that they're tired, you know? I mean, I think it's a thing that they have to deal with all the time, and they're frustrated, and so their tolerance is lower because they have to deal with it so much.
I wanted to, I know a place it's called Zeusk.com probably has very high survey standards, a very scientific approach to what they were doing, but I just actually was wondering about the survey two things. One, how did they define date? Because I think that's actually pretty important to the discussion. There's lots of different levels of dating and lots of different things that would be acceptable. I mean, there's taking someone home to meet the parents, which is
pretty serious.
And then there's, you know, handsome guy at a bar. You know, if I have to buy him a couple drinks, maybe that's okay. And then also I wanted to say that I think one way to look at the survey is that maybe women both are being realistic about, you know, who's out there and how what the employment rate is. And also saying, you know, maybe I don't need a guy to have a job. Maybe, like, I'm confident enough in my own future or confident enough that, you know, that I can exist on my own, that I don't need to have a breadwinner be my partner, which I think is maybe just a different way to kind of view the survey results, not just insofar as, like, are we lowering our standards or are we, you know, just be, or does what does it say about the men, but what does it say about the women? That are willing to do this. It might actually be a positive thing in some ways.
Hmm. So, J.C., final thought from you on this question. Do you feel that there's a broader cultural shift at work here, or do you think it's kind of because you started working on this book before the recession really took hold? But you say that you're a veteran of 20 years of interracial dating across all these ethnic groups. I'm just wondering if you think a broader cultural shift has taken hold where it's not as big of a deal as it used to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's happening in general. You see that a lot of these cultures that are very strong, like, for example, like Indians, there's not a lot of, you know, there hasn't been sort of a lot of interracial dating. There hasn't been a lot of sort of like Americanizing or whatever. And so it's a little bit more difficult for them to be accepting of these kinds of things. But the more sort of Americanized people get and the more that they get into the culture, I think the less likely they're tied to these. I find a lot of people that hold on their cultural tight are just very old-fashioned in every way. So it's not just that the man has to make the money. I mean, you have to call him Mr. and Mrs. You have to wear very conservative clothes. In general, I think the more people hold on to their old-fashioned style cultures, the more they are in sort of that older mentality. And that, I think, across America is changing for the better. But I think it really just gets back to what Danielle said, is that it's happening to everyone now. So it's not a point of personal shame.
And what about you, JC, before we move on to this topic? You have a steady boyfriend now, right? From my understanding.
I do,
does
yeah.
Does he have a job?
He does have a job. I mean, he's a Jewish accountant. Sorry not to be stereotypical, but that just is the truth. And so, yeah, he has a job. And his job is important to him. And we were actually talking about that today, like, you know, how do Jewish men think about dating? And I think the main issue for them is, and I think this is true for some of the other men you're talking about, is that as long as they have significant savings and they feel comfortable and they're confident in their life, then whether or not they have a job at that moment is not really as much of an issue.
And would you go out with somebody who was unemployed yourself?
Absolutely, I have. You know, I mean, I worked on Wall Street. We're unemployed like every other week. So, I mean, if Wall Street women took that kind of tact, it would be kind of hard to find a guy.
Okay. Okay. Well, I hope we stayed on the right side of the stereotype line. I'm not sure we did, but you know, you got to, you know, what can I say? You got to break eggs if you want to make an omelet. So if you're just joining us, I'm Michelle Martin. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. We're having our weekly visit to the beauty shop, and we're getting a women's perspective on issues in the news, pop culture, and politics. With us are Danielle Belton of BlackSnob.com. That's a blog. Anna Marie Cox. She's a Washington correspondent for GQ magazine, and author J.C. Davies. So talking about cultural shift here, I wanted to talk about John Boehner. He's expected to be elected as Speaker of the House come January. And the crying thing has just gotten so much attention. I'll tell you, having covered politics for a long time, I didn't know that he was such a crier, and apparently he is. So I'll just play, you know, and apparently his wife knows that. He had this interview with 60 Minutes over the weekend. John Boehner's Leslie Stahl, correspondent Leslie Stahl, asked John Boehner's wife about this. This is what she said.
He cries all the time? No?
No, but he's going through an emotional period, too. I mean, this isn't, you know, as you said, this is not an ordinary job. Whoever would have thought that he'd be in this position? He was a janitor on the night shift when I met him. He's come a long way.
So, Anna Marie, I wanted to ask you this first. Well, what do you make of this? I mean, the conversation that we've really had about this so far, that I've been reading, like, the blogs on Slate and Double X's, a lot of women were saying, you know, that's fine, but you try that as a woman and get away with that.
Well,
try that as a woman.
It's true. I mean, and, you know, Nancy Pelosi could not get away with the sort of number of times that he has cried in public in the same way or over the same things. I mean, that's actually also kind of – it's one thing to be a sensitive guy, and I actually thought, you know, like on election night, well, all right, it's a big deal. You know, I mean, he probably – who knows? Maybe he really never thought he'd be Speaker of the House, and this is an emotional moment. But to just the mention of children apparently just gets to him, you know. It's very on the one hand, I kind of want to be supportive of the idea that people and men in general should be able to share their emotions and not be considered weak for doing it. But I just find this whole thing odd. I mean, I just there's no other way to put it. Like it's not that he's just also it's not that he's emotional, because in every other sort of register of emotion, he doesn't really show a lot. He doesn't seem to have a lot of anger. He doesn't really joke around. He doesn't, like, there's no other register he has except besides, like, wooden and crying.
Danielle, what do you think?
Well, it's amazing to me because, like Anna Marie was saying, I feel like there's just such a double standard. I mean, women, when they're going into any type of position, where they're going to the workforce, where they're going to position of power, where they work in finance, where they work in the military, you cannot cry. If you cry as a woman, I can remember just, you know, crying as a kid in high school and getting screamed at because, like, okay, you're not emotionally capable of dealing with things. That's the problem with women. You're weak and you're all emotional. But the thing is, in politics now, where these, you know, a man like Boehner gets upset and cries, or even when other male politicians have, you know, shed a few tears in the past, like, oh, he's showing his sensitive side. That's wonderful. And while, you know, I agree we should encourage everyone to be in touch with their feelings, that's wonderful, I really bristle at the double standard because I know that as a professional woman, I cannot burst into tears at work.
But is that his fault, though, that there's a double standard?
No, it's not necessarily his fault, but it is annoying to me to hear people talk about it as if, oh, it's so wonderful or interesting or okay if he does it, but not necessarily.
JC, what do you think?
I mean, I think crying is very powerful, and I'm pro it again, for sure. And I also think that, I mean, I remember to all the years, like when I was a kid growing up in the 70s, where men couldn't cry, and that was really terrible. So, I mean, I'm glad that they can. But, you know, watching him on TV, it's really kind of a crazy looking crying, and it sort of reminds me of that Seinfeld episode where he was dating that woman where every time she would do something like drop a hot dog, she would start crying. You know, I mean, it just seems like it's very excessive, and I think crying should be saved for when you really feel it. And it just seems a little bit bizarre to me.
Mm-hmm. I'll be very interested to see how this changes the way people deal with him come January when he has a lot of power as speaker. And I don't know that it will at all, just because he does have real power.
And I should point out the people I've talked to that have worked with him in the past, he's apparently always been this way. His wife was.
We just didn't know.
Yeah, right. He just wasn't on camera as much. But he's always been kind of like he gets teared up.
Does it create more space for women? That's the other question I have.
Is it because
he's such an important.
Well, I think if anything, it'll make it worse. Because if he does cry that often, he's not going to help the male stigma about crying. It'll eventually become an issue where people go, like, dude, You stubbed your toe. Your lunch came back wrong. Why are you crying? Like, this is not good. You can't cry about everything.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't think in the long run, I don't know if it necessarily helps.
And also, he shows empathy about the strangest things.
Yeah.
Well,
you know,
that was strange to
like
to
unemployment
you,
but... benefits. Who cares? But, you know, oh, the children. Oh, the children.
I mean,
it's a very strange thing to have like so much
empathy.
Well, to have so much empathy and so much like empathy for yourself, I guess, on election night. That like when it comes to like hard truths about the country and like economic problems, not so much.
Well, we'll see. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I'm a crier, so I'm kind of sympathetic. I used to, but then again, some of that is you know hormonal. Like when I had children, and you know you're. I'll just be blunt. You know, when you're breastfeeding and your hormone levels are all over the place, I mean, a Sprint commercial would make me cry. And yeah. I just, there were certain news stories I could not watch because I could not handle it. Like about, you know, Beslan, for example, when the children at the elementary school were taken hostage at Beslan. I had a very hard time because that was a big story in the news. And, you know, obviously you're expected to know about these things. I was just devastated. And on the other, so I don't know. I will be interested to see whether maybe he creates some space, some new connection for people. I
don't think it's as bad for women as people say. I mean, I think of one example. When I was in graduate school at Harvard, we had to do this sort of weird thing in this leadership class, and I had to do a speech. And I gave this speech, and in the midst of the speech, I started crying. And I just couldn't, like, sort of stop myself. I was so sort of mad at this class. It was very kind of, like, racist and sexist, and they were always saying these terrible things. And it was funny because I was kind of embarrassed, and I went to sit down. And I thought, oh, this is, you know, everyone's going to make fun of me or they're going to just avoid it like it didn't happen. And in fact, I became like somehow was the champion for women's rights because I had cried in front of this 300, you know, person class at Harvard. Oh. And, you know, men, and I was the biggest topic of conversation.
Okay. So it worked out. That's interesting. Okay, well, we'll see. That's something to keep an eye on. That was J.C. Davey. She's the author of the book, I Got the Fever. It's a book about her experiences in interracial dating over the years. Her experiences. Write the letters to her. She's joined us from our bureau in New York. With us here in Washington, Danielle Belton, author of the blog BlackSnob.com, and Anna Marie Cox, Washington correspondent for GQ Magazine. Ladies, thank you so much, and happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays.
Thank you.